Go to the Word radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of 2 Corinthians, and we're in chapters 1 and 2. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. We're supposed to get to the place where this thing takes wings and it makes sense and it takes flight and your feet begin to become beautiful. The Bible says how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of them that bring good news. And God would have us have beautiful feet. And so he tells them that, listen, our love for you is there. And I didn't read the rest of this in 1 Corinthians. He says, I put away childish things. He says in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, verse 12, he says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. You know, part of when we're going to know even as we're known is now, but even more so then. The glass darkly is like a deep-down copper pan where they could see their reflection. But you know, when you're looking constantly at your reflection in the Scriptures, what you're going to see as you keep looking is you're going to see Jesus. Because His Word is not only telling you how you should be and making you feel like, hey, you know, I should be better. What happens then? Well, maybe a little self-condemnation. I'm not better. Wait a minute. Keep looking. Keep looking. Because Jesus is in there. And when you look past yourself, you begin to see Him. And the Bible says, as we steadfastly gaze at Him, we're changed into that same image, even as by one Spirit. It's a beautiful thing. So now, as I do things He would have me to do and cooperate with the things He would call me to do with my particular giftings, with my particular set of circumstances and relationships, and I begin to realize those are people for whom Christ died, I can begin to understand what He says next. He says, then I will know even as I am known. He says, and now abideth faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. The reason I bring that to you is because he says back in our passage in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 4, he says, I wrote to you that you might know the love that I have for you. Now, what does that love look like? Well, that love, it looks like what Jesus lived out. He was all about everybody else, right? The Bible says He made Himself of no reputation. He took upon Himself the form of a servant. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Always diving for the body. Always trying to help the lost. Paul had the sentence of death in himself. And you know what he did? He got up and he kept going. And as he kept going, he got to a point where if you look down in verse 12 of chapter 2, he says, after all the things that I've been through and have been even falsely accused by some among your number, he says, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit. Now notice what just happened here. Chapter 1 had the sentence of death, despaired even of life. Didn't want to come by you guys because I thought I might burst into tears. You ever been there where you've been holding a good face for a while and that certain person came into the room, big sister, best friend, and they know what you've been feeling? And they reach their arms out and you just let go. He didn't want to do that with them. He didn't want them to be made sorry. He wanted them to have joy. It's like a parent looks at their children. They don't want to be weak. And they try to shield them from all of their misgivings. He says, that's kind of how I felt. Verse 1 of chapter 2. I didn't want to make you sad. I wanted to get joy from you. Verse 12, he says, when I came to Troas, I came there to preach. So he got up and he kept trudging along. And it would have been trudging. You see him trudging? Trudging. You know, just kind of going along. Saying, this is what I got to do. All I know is to take the next step. He got to Troas, and he had a great door opened to him. Look at that. A door was opened unto me. Underline the words, of the Lord. God opened that door. And people were listening. But he said, I had no rest in verse 13. because Titus wasn't there. I wasn't just worried about me. I was worried about Timothy and Titus. I knew where Timothy was. These are his protégés. But Titus wasn't there. I couldn't focus on anything I was preaching because all I'm thinking is they've got him. They put him in prison somewhere. They're beating him. He needs encouragement. I need to go. I can't stay here. God opened the door. And you say, Paul blew it. He left a great open door. If you're looking over your last year and you're thinking, I'm a mess, I want you to know, Paul had a mess. In the wake of his despair, his lack of comforts. But in retrospect, he was able to say, God did it that I might trust in Him who raises the dead, not in myself. He could see it in retrospect, but in the middle of it, he couldn't. And here he is, and he says, listen, I had no rest because of Titus. I found him not in verse 13, but taking my leave of them, I went from there into Macedonia. Guys, you may have had a chance to witness somebody let it slide. You may have had a chance to minister to somebody who needed some encouragement, and you didn't go. And you didn't make the phone call. You didn't extend a hand of encouragement to somebody or give a hug to somebody who needed it. You didn't sit by a bed where somebody was hurting. When you're looking back over the wake of your last year, I want you to know now abides these three, faith, hope, and love. Greatest of these is love. Paul left a door. You could think he would be altogether self-condemned. I let God down. People would have gotten saved if I would have stayed in Troas and preached. But his next verse shows us something different. Verse 14 says, but thanks be unto God. And by the way, where it says now in the King James, but would be a decent translation as well. But thanks be unto God, because that's what happened. You know, when God butts in, it's always a good thing. Read chapter 3 of the book of Romans. It says, none righteous, no, not one, all sin. Fall short of the glory of God. And then it says, and under their tongues is the poison of asps. There's none seeketh after God. None understands. None. They're all a mess. All unclean. But God, being rich in mercy, He butted in. Don't you like it when God butts in? what about this one? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I like that when God butted in again. I love it when God butts in because He always has the answer I could not find on my own. He says, but thanks be unto God in verse 14, which always, circle that, always, causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. You know what he just said? He said, I left an effectual door, went to Macedonia, and when I got there, God used me there. Do you know God is not limited by your choices? We're limited by our choices, not God. We have to be mindful that wherever we are, every day we have a new mercy given to us. The Bible says the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Now, if we've made bad choices, somehow we might need to make an adjustment on the new day. But there's a new mercy right for you, right where you are, right today. Aren't you glad that's true? Because where there's life, there's hope. And if you're God's child, He wasn't shocked by your stumble. He is going to use it. And sometimes we walk with a limp like Jacob. Remember, he wrestled with the Lord all night. And the Lord says, let me go. He says, I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. So he put his hip joint out and he walked with a limp the rest of his life. You call that a blessing? Can I walk with a limp? Yeah, it was a blessing because it was where God touched him. And where he was weak, God was strong. And the Bible says in his old age, he worshiped the Lord leaning upon his staff. God's not mean. God's good. God is good to those that love him. God is good to those that know him. Like a cup of cold water in a hot and thirsty land, God is good. Because this mess down here is not hard just for the believer. It's hard for everybody. But you and I have the living water. You and I have the refreshment of a Christ who died and gave us confidence that we can stand in His presence in that day and receive the commendation, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You say, yeah, but He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Yeah, but no. Listen to my child. Well done. How can you say, well done? I know I messed up. When the disciples asked him, what must we do the works of God? He says, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He has sent. That's the work for which we get commended. Well done. Everything else goes from there. You believe in Jesus, you've nailed it. You're still looking for Him in the pages. You're nailing it. You find me in the pages. You're nailing it more. You're growing. Then you look behind the curtain and you say, how can I be Jesus to somebody? Now you're starting to see and know and understand in a way that what the Bible calls an epigenosko kind of knowledge, a personal knowledge that is super knowledge. It's not just experiential in the sense that gnosko is. It's epigenosko. It's even upon that. You can know here. But when you know in the shoe leather and you see God in the way and you understand His promptings from behind saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And you hear His voice in those little ways. I'm not talking about something mysterious in the one sense, but it is. It's a mystery. He dwells in me. He speaks to me. And 99.9% of the time, He's speaking to me through the Word of God that He has put in my heart. And He brings to my mind verses and chapters and concepts that I did not know that I even had committed to my memory. Because as the years have gone on, more bricks have been laid to more bricks. And then I begin to see Him in my day-to-day. But when in verse 14 He says, thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph. Another way to translate that is, now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Now, the reason that's important is because the picture here is of a loud and audacious, triumphal kind of a parade in the streets. The Romans would do this kind of a parade when they've taken down some enemies and liberated some prisoners. And those prisoners were liberated, say, from the hordes of the barbarians. They are not immediately suited up and given a mount. They are walked into the city on foot, liberated and holding up laurels of victory because their liberator liberated them. And you and I have that with Jesus. And no matter where you go, you're in that triumphal procession. And He's saying, God leads us in triumph wherever we go. Because wherever we go, guess what? Jesus is. Why do I know that? Because He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you always. So wherever you are, He is. And if we have any leg to stand on at all, it's because of Him. Now understand this. He says, because of our victory, Paul could have given testimony in Macedonia and said, you know what? I had a door open back there, but I felt terrible because I couldn't find Titus. And sitting maybe at a table somewhere talking to a few other Jewish people he'd just met, because Paul was so social, he's always trying to find somebody to strike up a conversation with, you could see him beginning to tell them what a mess he was. You say, what? Why would he tell them? Don't we lead with our best foot? For him, the best foot he had to put forward was, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. Christ came into the world to save sinners, listen, of whom I'm chief. He led with his mess. And thus he disarmed any kind of highfalutin kind of tag somebody might, well, you think you're better than, no. I'm just the opposite of that. Now see, listen. While we're down here in this animated dust, while we're in this bag of dirt that we walk around in, listen, one day I'm going back into the dust. When that happens, then I will be fully free.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.